There are many different ways that people claim that they can tell the future. There are tarot cards, palm readings, astrology, numerology, the magic eight ball, and the list goes on and on. And apparently there are many different foods that are used in fortune telling, including tea, coffee, cabbage, and eggs. I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. My next guest is into food, fortune telling, writing, and she's a witch, a kitchen witch, and she uses a very specific food to tell your future.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Billack. I am a tyromancer, which is a cheese fortune teller, as well as an author, journalist, and writing coach.
Well, let's start off by talking about the most exciting thing, tyromancy. Explain exactly what that is.
So tyromancy is the practice of telling fortunes with cheese by looking at the holes, the lines, the bumps, the patterns that's all on the surface of the cheese.
Now, this isn't some sort of newfangled thing. This has been around since the Middle Ages.
Yeah, it's actually been around since the 2nd century.
Oh, okay. So that's a really long time.
Yeah. So well before the Middle Ages, but it was most popular in the Middle Ages and early modern era.
Now, when did you discover this and when did you start practicing it?
That was at the start of the pandemic. And I don't remember how long ago that was anymore because time is meaningless. I was launching a newsletter called Kitchen Witch about the intersection of food and witchcraft. I was trying to come up with ways to promote it so I could be like, oh, you could read about this or you could read about this. Like there's one of the other examples is there's an old Icelandic grimoire from an Icelandic witch that I have a translation of. I think it's from the 14th century, maybe, but there is a spell in there to make someone fart themselves to death.
Oh, does it involve cheese?
I don't know. Okay. but that was something that I thought about including. And then I Googled weird ways to tell fortunes with food. And I found a humongous list and kind of glommed on to tyromancy because I love cheese and I love telling fortunes.
Well, I also love cheese. I've never told a fortune, though, so I understand how you would like it. Do you have to have a or do you feel like you have abilities? And does someone need to have like an ability and able to read the cheese, like a something innate inside of them?
I want to say yes, but I also want to say no. I feel like it's a muscle you can kind of exercise. Although I overheard my husband telling someone I have a gift. So, yes.
And you teach other people how to do this too.
Yeah, I do workshops that goes through like the history of magic, of cheese magic, the history of tyromancy, and then how you can do tyromancy. And then I go around and if it's a group session, then I fortune tell, I divine from everyone's cheese.
Now, I understand that your classes get sold out pretty quickly.
They do.
Did you know that that was going to happen? Did you know it was how popular it was going to be?
I had no idea. So the first couple sessions that I did were like, just with some like-minded people. The promotion was pretty minimal. It was just something I did on my own. And I was like, oh, you know, people think this is fun. I'm having a good time. It's cool. And then the sessions that I did like sold out, like the big workshop sold out like within a day or two. And there was a wait list. And now I was just like, oh my gosh, this could be something huge. And then I've got another one coming up that's already sold out and they had to add a second session and that's sold out also. So
how does that feel? You've struck this nerve and people have glommed onto it. How does that feel?
It's pretty cool. And I'm really glad that everyone can enjoy cheese.
So when you do the future, the fortune telling with the cheese, what sort of cheeses do you use?
Generally, blue and Swiss are the best because they're the most easily seen variations on the surface. But you can use anything that has, like you said, variation on the surface. So I did a piece of Jack cheese that had whole basil leaves going through it. So I did that, do a Colby Jack. For typically the like flat, like cheese that's just like shiny and straight across, like a Singles or a chunk of cheddar or something. Those aren't the best. Singles, definitely not. But for a chunk of cheddar, you could break it in half and then look at the ridges in the break You could also use crumbled cheese if you like shake it up and dump it out onto a plate and then don't touch it and look at the shapes there. You can do fondue. You can melt some Parmesan crumbles and see what that looks like. There's a way to do it for pretty much every cheese. Vegan cheeses work too.
So you can melt the cheese as well. That's part of the deal.
You can. Yeah, you can. It's a choice you've made. So okay. The whole thing about it is like you're picking a cheese that you feel a connection to and you're preparing it or moving it or cutting it the way that you feel like your subconscious is driving you to do this. Like even so, I offer an opportunity for myself to purchase the cheese for the people I'm reading for. And that's still like a choice that they're making as far as how they interact with the cheese.
Does it work better if they bring their own cheese?
I want to say yes, but I want to say no.
Maybe. So,
yes, in the sense that they might feel a stronger connection to that than anything that I might pick out for them. And also, hopefully they would pick out a cheese that they enjoy eating.
Okay.
But no, in the sense that, like I said, everything is a choice. It's all your subconscious, like speaking through you, telling you what to do.
And then you break open the cheese. And what do you see? What do some of the things mean that you see inside of the cheese?
So if you see an arrow, it means that you're going on a journey. If you see a heart, it means love or happiness. If you see the shape of a baby, it doesn't mean you're about to be pregnant. It means that change is coming. If there's two parallel lines, it means that you are on a journey and someone else is on that journey with you. One of the coolest readings I ever did was somebody brought a piece of cheese that didn't have a lot of variation on the surface, but they cut it in half and opened it up and it was totally blank except for a big number 100.
Okay.
It was crazy. And I was like, you are doing something right.
So that meant that they were in a good place in their life, seeing the 100, yeah. Like 100, like you see online.
Yeah, exactly.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of palm reading. You're looking at somebody's palm and seeing where the lines are. Is it similar to that?
Yeah, it's similar to that and to tea leaf reading. I'm also a certified tea specialist, so I read tea leaves as well. Anything where you're kind of like looking at shapes and patterns and trying to figure out a message from it.
And then it also kind of reminds me of tarot card reading where the person actually makes decisions and picks stuff and is drawn to things.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Blend. It's a nice, delicious blend.
It does sound like a delicious blend. When you're done doing the readings, do the people eat the cheese? Do you eat the cheese?
If you would like to eat the cheese, you can. Okay. If you don't want to, you don't have to. If it's a good cheese, I'd eat it.
I'm with you. I love, love, love cheese.
Yeah.
What sort of fortunes are told when someone comes in to learn this or get their cheese read? Do they have to have a specific question in mind, or do they have to be, is it more like, am I going to get a job next week? Or is it more like I'm in a weird place in my life and I don't know what to do with it?
Well, there's a couple methods, right? So I give people the opportunity to bring up to four cheeses, and that would be, if we put them in categories, a past cheese, a present cheese, a future cheese, and an overall cheese. People can bring up like any combination of that. Like I've had people have just the past and the future cheese. I've had people do the overall and the present cheese. And I've had people ask specific questions and ask me to find an indicator of the answer within the cheese. So it really depends on what you're looking for.
Is there like a guidebook that tells you what the things mean in the cheese? You do have to have the gift.
Yeah, there was very little when I was learning to do this. There was very little information out there. So I did hours of research, like going back into old occult books and dream interpretation manuals and everything. And then I combined my own knowledge of tea leaf reading and coffee ground reading and like all of the readings that you can do. Cause they're all, the symbols generally tend to mean the same thing.
That's interesting. And are you the only person you know of that is doing this these days? Are there other Tibromancers out there that you've heard of?
As far as I know, I'm the only one.
Your name, when I looked for it, you're the only name that I could find, and you popped up immediately. You got it. You got the market cornered on Thai romance.
Fabulous.
Have you ever predicted something or saw something, read in the cheese, that ended up actually happening, or the person was like, oh, that's true. Yes, that is true.
Yeah, that happens more often than not, actually.
Really?
Yeah. So I actually, over the weekend, I was at a conference and there was a cheese plate set out and there was a chef at the station making grilled cheese. And I was telling him about this cheese reading that I do, and I didn't know his name, but he was really fascinated. I said, well, come over here and I'll read this piece of blue cheese for you. And what I saw in the cheese was that he was going to have a career change, but it was still going to be in the same industry. It was just going to be some change, and that it was going to end with him having to make a pretty serious decision that had to do with the letter B. And he freaked out because apparently he's in the process of starting his own restaurant where he will graduate up to executive chef, and the restaurant is going to be named after him, and his last name started with a B.
Oh, well, that's exciting. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was just a random reading that you gave for
just
fun.
Just a random reading. So he was so excited. He came around. He was like, take a picture with the cheese with me. And I'm like, okay. And
then, I love
and
it.
Then, there was another time where there was a couple who I kind of felt bad about this one. Yeah. So the husband gave his wife a Thai romance session as an anniversary gift. So I saw them on their anniversary. I read for both of them, and in her cheese, I saw that they were like, there were two people going on this journey together. Then there was a fracture. There was a bit of a break. Something happened that led to some kind of argument that it resolved. So the lines picked back up, but you could see little like crystallizations or ridges in the cheese, which told me that there was still some lingering like bitterness or resentment. She looks at her husband and she goes, yep.
Oh, happy anniversary. You really picked up on something. Now you said that you're a certified tea leaf reader. How do you get certified?
I'm a certified tea specialist.
Tea specialist. Okay.
Yeah. That was the step before becoming a tea sommelier. I just couldn't, it was too expensive to keep going.
Okay. And a tea sommelier is like a wine sommelier where you.
Exactly.
They said, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And then you said, so that obviously is used to tell fortunes. Can other food be used as well? You said you researched it and a bunch of stuff came up.
Yeah. So much stuff came up. I stopped at cheese, so I didn't get too far. but you know, I was thinking, right? Like when you divine from cheese, you're looking at the lines and the holes and the depth and the patterns. I bet you could take a loaf of sourdough.
Yeah.
Break it open and see what it says inside.
I was thinking a cake. I was like, you could, a cupcake, even a donut, something that you can take apart and look at the pattern on the inside, I guess.
I think we found your career.
Maybe. I don't know if I've got your gift, though.
Me neither.
Do you feel like you have a different relationship with cheese now that you do this?
I do. I'm always looking at it now. When I go shopping for cheese now, it's not so much like, oh, I really want this cheese. It's like, I walk through and I'm like, ooh, that would be a really good cheese to read.
Every time you have a sandwich with cheese on it, you got to be thinking about the future.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've given some people complexes.
Right. So tell me a little bit about The Kitchen Witch.
Yeah. So it's a Substack newsletter. It used to come out weekly and now it comes out somewhat irregularly.
You're a busy lady. You do a lot of stuff.
Oh, you're telling me. And it's about the intersection of food and witchcraft and how those two worlds interact.
I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. I'm talking with Jennifer, who's a witch that practices Thairomancy, which is fortune telling with cheese.
Now, do you consider yourself a witch?
Yes. And I have been since childhood.
Since childhood. Okay. So what exactly is a witch?
Someone who has a more nature-based spirituality, who doesn't necessarily believe in the religious, like Christian, Catholic structure or idea of deity or afterlife or the beginning of mankind or anything like that.
Is a witch and a Wiccan the same thing?
No.
Oh, they're different things. Okay. What's the difference?
Wiccans are witches, but not all witches are Wiccans.
Oh, well, I'm learning something here.
So Wiccans are, they're kind of like the Christianity of the witch world. And I know that that's going to piss somebody off. So, but it's true because they're very deity focused and they're focused on ritual and, spell. Not, I mean, it's more or less, it's like prayer to their chosen deity. And not every witch is like that. Like, I don't include deities in my practice at all. I don't like rituals. I feel like they're silly. The whole like casting the circle thing. Sorry, I'm being mean.
Now, you discovered this as a little girl. How old were you?
Yeah. I've always been like this.
When did you figure out it was witchcraft?
Mostly through reading.
Okay. Like,
that there was something a little different about my beliefs and how I interacted with the world. And I used to go to the bookstore every weekend and would sit myself on the floor by the New Age section when it was called that and just read all about it. So
a curious kid. Now I saw that you offer spell services.
I do.
So what sort of spells do people generally want to, I guess, cast? Is that the right word to use? I'm talking about it like I've, you know, it's a Disney movie and you're going to be given the princess a poison apple, but I know it's not like that.
No, usually people want love spells or money spells.
Okay.
But there are also a lot of people who want protection spells. So how that works is I have a one-on-one conversation with them, whether it's person or through Zoom or FaceTime or whatever video platform you like. And then we can either talk through what the best options are for them to do their own spell, and then they go off and do their own, or I can do it for them. And I take process photos and then ship, like if it's a spell jar, it ends up with a jar that's like kind of cool. And I ship that, like all the materials to them so that they have it.
Wow. And do people ever want to cast like a bad spell, like make something bad happen to another person or get revenge?
I have definitely had some hex wonders.
Okay.
and I'll do it. I mean, I'll do it. It's not up to me how they live their lives or what they choose to do. That's all them.
All right. And then you do different kinds of divination. Am I saying that word right? Divination?
Divination.
Is that the telling of the future or is it present and future?
it can be a range. Usually it's just telling some sort of fortune. Like for example, with pendulums, it's usually a yes or no question that you're getting answered. With tea leaves and coffee grounds and cheese, it's telling a story based on what you see. Tarot cards are based on what shows up in the cards. I've got a reading with spirit stones coming up soon where you cast some stones onto a divination mat and tell the story based on what those stones are and where they fell on the mat. So it's a lot of different ways to do it.
So yeah, you use all the different kinds of, I don't know what the word would be, mediums.
Tools.
Tools, right. And then
I use all the options at my disposal.
And then do you feel or hear or taste or see things as well when you're looking at the objects that are helping you interpret this?
I do get really strong feelings about certain things. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, sometimes I just feel a connection to what I'm seeing and like the whole story can just materialize in front of me. And those are the ones that usually are like, the people are like, oh my God.
So you don't use some sort of a spirit or anything like that you go through?
I feel like my personal belief is that we are all energy and we're all the same energy. So any kind of spirit I would be using is just the same energy that I have myself.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah. When people are asking about their future, what sort of questions, like what generally, what did they have? Are they ever thinking, like, when am I going to die or anything like that?
Nobody's asked that yet.
I don't know if people want to know.
Oh, I've got a lot of, like, am I going to change jobs? Which one of these boyfriends should I choose? Like, should I move to this state type thing? Just like general questions. It's nothing like big in it. Like,
you feel like people come to you when they're trying to make a life decision and they're kind of stuck and they don't know what they want to do.
Yeah, I feel like that. Like, maybe they are just kind of tossing around an idea that they're not sure about yet. Or they just want to get a better overall view of what their life currently looks like so that they can make a more informed decision.
It's almost like you're a therapist.
Yeah, kind of. Half of them, and this is true with the custom spellcasting too. Half of those talks turn into like a therapy session.
People just need to get it out and work mm-hmm. it out in their head. And this is a yeah. way for them to do it.
Exactly.
If you predict something that's not great, can someone change the outcome? Can they take steps to make it different?
Absolutely. So whatever I see in the cheese or whatever divination method I'm using, that's a snapshot of how things look right now. So you could make, like, I could tell you, you're going to be stuck in Chicago for the rest of your life. And then tomorrow you could actively say, I'm moving to Milwaukee. And so then that obviously changes your trajectory. So it would change your fortune, essentially.
And if you ever see something that's absolutely horrible in somebody's future, do you tell them about it? Or are there certain things that you keep to yourself?
No, I tell them. I try to soften the blow maybe a little bit, but I am very, like, frank and upfront with them.
Okay. Like, even if you're going to die in a car crash.
I haven't seen that yet.
So. Okay. Well, that's good then.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever taken any news poorly?
Not really. I mean, maybe that husband after the anniversary.
Well, maybe they ended up working on their marriage after that.
Yeah. Right. I think a lot of people are taking it as, like, they are seeing it for what it is, which is how things are right now. So if I predict something that is going to be like a horrible, horrible argument, like, they have the opportunity now that they have this knowledge to be like, okay, well, let's talk about this now. Let's get it out of, like, get it to the surface so that we don't end up having this horrible argument.
Right. Okay. All right. And now you don't just tell the future. You're also a writer and editor, and you have a master's in journalism, which is like a big deal. and you've got some really big clients as well. I saw Playboy was one of them. And was it the Smithsonian?
Yeah.
The opposite. And then a whole bunch of others. Who are some of your other huge clients?
Travel and Leisure, National Geographic, Condé Nast Traveler, New York Times, pretty much everybody.
Your name has popped up in a lot of places. You've written a lot of stuff and you've written some books. What are some of the books that you've written?
Yeah, so I've written, well, 8 books total. The 8th one is coming out in December.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That is A Guide to Planetary Retrogrades. My most recent book published last year, and it was Historic Chicago Bakeries. I think it was last year. It might have been the year before. And then I've got a couple of history books about Michigan, Ghosts of Michigan, Michigan's Upper Peninsula, Classic Restaurants of Milwaukee. And then my first 2 books are cookbooks, Civil War era cookbooks.
So you're really truly mixing your food with the occult, I guess it is a fun word to use.
History, you know,
and travel. And then now you also have a podcast called a Macabre Travel Podcast.
Macabre Traveler is on hold at the moment. We are working with someone to get it restarted. Excuse me, but we took a health related break, but we'll hopefully be back soon. I think we're trying to get the first episode up around Halloween.
Is it
the next episode? We've already got like 2 full seasons.
Is it about traveling to places that have ghosts and whatnot?
Yes, it's about macabre travel. And in the history of those destinations, it's a dark humor podcast. So a lot of people didn't quite get that.
It sounds like it's right up my alley personally. So I will be listening.
Yes.
And you got married this year.
So we eloped in Antarctica in October.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then the elopement was only legal in Norway.
Oh, okay.
Because of maritime laws and things like that. And so then we had a like official wedding in March, and now we're married everywhere.
And he recently said that you have a gift.
It's him.
So he seems like to really dig what you do. Obviously, he loves you. You guys just recently got married. What does he think about your gift?
I think he enjoys it. He thinks it's fun.
I'm sure I bet he does. What does the rest of your family think about your gift? Like, what do your mom and dad think? Or do you have any siblings?
I'm pretty sure they all think my mom finds it more interesting than everyone else. Everyone else, I think, is entertained, but they think it's bullshit.
Okay. But your mom believes you?
I think my mom is on board. Yeah.
Have you ever been bullied for your beliefs by either as a child or as an adult? Or have you ever run into any trouble in the business world at being a witch and telling the future?
No, not personally. I mean, I'm pretty weird and everybody can see it like the first 10 minutes they talk to me. So I'm also really open. So like I talk about everything. Like I would tell you my whole life story if I had time. I'll be talking to someone I just met and I'm like, why am I telling them this like story about my deep trauma from my abusive marriage?
Well, so you live in Chicago?
Yes.
And you're available for hire in Chicago, but also online?
Also online, yes. And so I can do in-person anywhere in the north part of the city and then in the near north suburbs.
Okay.
But everything else can be done online, yeah.
And if someone wants to sign up for one of your cheese Tyromancy workshops, they got to get in as soon as you release that, right? There's going to be
there's sign up for another one is coming up sometime soon for an October 29th session at Uwe in Chicago in Andersonville. But if they want to book an individual session, they can go to kitchenwitch.substack.com. There is a tab at the top for Tyromancy with all of the information you need. And then there's also a tab at the top for other witchcraft and divination services. And the link to book is right in there.
And I'm going to put the link to that when I post this this podcast online so everybody can easily get to you. And then if they do want to sign up for that workshop, is the day that it opens up, they're going to have to sign up that day, right? Because it's going to
sell. Yeah, watch my socials. I don't know when it's going to be ready, but I will post it as this.
Jennifer, the most popular Tyromancer in the country. The world at this point, probably.
The universe.
Yes. Thank you so much for talking to me. You are such an interesting person, and I loved learning about all of this fortune telling with cheese.
Oh, thanks. It was a good time.
Tyromancy sounds like the most delicious form of divination I've ever heard of. Links to where you can find Jennifer and sign up for her Tyromancy workshops or schedule a spell casting are listed with this podcast. Thanks for joining me this week on Delightfully Different. If you or someone you know lives life differently, hit me up. LexiOnTheRadio@gmail.com. That's LEXI onTheRadio@gmail.com or go to DelightfullyDifferentPodcast.com. Until next Thursday, have a delightful week.